Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to hour two of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We are less than 2 weeks away from the inaugural Carriker Chronicles football camp. The Ticket will be live on location. The drive that morning, Nick Saner, Chris Rath, AD, and Amon Green. Well, Amon will be actually running around at the camp as well. And then we'll have All-American, former All-American Nebraska quarterback Steve Taylor, and DP will be going one-on-one that day as well. And Jake, I forgot to mention you in the past when I've kind of talked about all this. My apologies. Jake's going to be there as well. What are your thoughts on being live on location at the camp? Are you excited? Could you not possibly care less and you just feel obligated to say nice things? Where are you at on this, Jake?
No, I'm very excited. Obviously, it's cool. And, obviously, as you're putting these camps together, you've done them over the years, you kind of maybe get used to it a little bit. But it's just awesome to see some of these camps pop up in Lincoln, in this area. When I was growing up, I didn't hear a whole lot about them. Now, maybe there were a few here and there, but the opportunity with some of the big names that you brought in and then myself, obviously, to go out there and then
the biggest name of them all.
That's right. But in all seriousness, like the combined years of college football and NFL experience here. I mean, what more could you ask for? Especially again, like I said, in Lincoln, where I don't see the opportunity as much. Sometimes you'll see the camps pop up in Omaha. But this is very cool.
Yeah, we're definitely very excited. So just a reminder, the camp is July 9th, right? The LYF Lincoln Youth Football Fields. It is for kindergarten through eighth graders, boys and girls. There's going to be over 30 coaches there. I think I tallied it up the other day. It was like 34 at this point right now. A lot of them are local high school coaches. A lot of them played college ball. A lot of them currently, like the defensive line coach in Nebraska, Wesleyan, is going to be there helping out as well. So a lot of guys helping out, and Eric Crouch, actually just chatted with him this morning. He was like sending me texts. He's like, what are some of the drills? Who am I going to be on the field with? Like Ron Kellogg and him are going to be sharing the same field, kind of doing a lot of the passing stuff together. Ron, obviously former Nebraska quarterback, offensive coordinator, standing bear. And so he's like wanting to get it down and figure it out. And so it's fun because a lot of these coaches are like, all right, what's the layout? What's it look like? Here's the equipment I need. Here's the drills I want to run. And I'm like, let's light this freaking candle. You guys are ready to go. It's going to be fun. So Eric Crouch, Amon Green, Kenny Wilhite, Zach Wigert, myself, and a whole bunch of other folks are going to be there. And my favorite thing is watching the kids, a couple of things, watching them get better. Sometimes when you're in a team setting, it's hard for a coach to focus on every player and try to get them to do basic, simple things. And that can make it hard from the get-go. If you can't get in the proper stance, then you can't explode properly. Then you can't use your hands. And then you're behind the eight ball from the beginning. And it's hard to do that when you're trying to get a team ready to play. When you're at a camp, that coach isn't focused on a game on Saturday or game planning. They're focused on the kids. So I want to see the kids get better. I want them to have a blast, have fun, and create memories that they're going to have for a very long time. All right. Autographs, t-shirts will be included as well. If you want to learn more and to register the Carriker Chronicles football camp, go to CarrikerChronicles.com. Again, that's CarrikerChronicles.com. Is there anything off the text line there, Jake, before we press on and move forward?
Yeah, a couple questions here. Someone asked Adam, do you think Bryce Williams will get drafted tonight?
That's a good question. So, all right, My instant gut reaction, even though I went quiet there, was yes. But then something tells me he's somehow going to get overlooked at the same time. I'm going to say yes, but something tells me he's just as likely to get overlooked. Like, sometimes an individual really good player will get overlooked. Like, Nebraska's basketball team got 0 points for winning the crown towards that cup. And I'm just like, will NBA scouts somehow view him in a similar light, despite his individual talents, abilities, and bright future? I'm going to go with yes. I'm not uber confident. What do you say, Jake?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he's ranked at least as best players available on ESPN, right above Caleb Love. It reminds you how many good players there are. And by the way, he's, you know, borderline going to get drafted or not. But how many good college players might not get drafted? I mean, we know of a few names that, again, that might not get drafted as well tonight. As we kind of look at locally, Chucky Hepburn, who was a fantastic defensive player of the year in the ACC. Like we just had with Bryce Williams, I mean, he was one of the top scorers in the nation. We'll see if John Tonji, the player from Omaha that went on to Wisconsin, is going to get drafted. So there's just a lot of really good college players that don't get drafted. And that happens almost every year. We'll see, though. I think he's I don't know. It's a tough prediction because it is. It feels like maybe back into the second round, and at that point, what are you looking for? I think he does get drafted. I'll say he does.
All right. Anything else from the text line before we move on?
Just as far as the Spartan game, as far as the Spartan Stadium, Michigan State being ranked as high as they were in that ordeal, says, I was at Spartan Stadium when Martinez broke his jaw after helmet-to-helmet no call. I could say it's not really crazy. It holds, I think, about 45,000, and the fan base is just all bad people, I'll put it that way. I can't read the word.
There's like five schools in that top 25 that I'm just kind of like, their home field advantage is right ahead of Nebraska, and I'm just like, okay. So, is it my Nebraska bias? Is it their anti-Nebraska bias who came up with these rankings? Like, how are some of those schools, we already named them, ahead of us in these rankings? Number 25 blew me out of the water. Starkville, Mississippi, with all due respect. That's the one I was like, no freaking way. But there were some others I was like, really? Really? Really?
Well, it's interesting, too, because they have they do these, like, previews, right? Little videos to get excited about the games, and they have Nebraska's light show in there. So yes. They're, like, literally showing you, hey, this looks like a pretty cool atmosphere, but it's not going to be one of our top 25 toughest atmospheres to play at.
Dude, that's a phenomenal point. That's such a great point. All right, quick recruiting updates. All right, we'll go quickly here. Keep in mind, I haven't had a show since Tuesday, so we're catching up on 48 hours worth of news. 2026 three-star wide receiver Larry Miles has received a crystal ball prediction in favor of the Huskers. Let's see, 2026 three-star wide receiver Nolan Scott, 6'3", 385 pounds, has received a crystal ball prediction for Nebraska as well. Let's see who else we got here. All right, there's another one. All right, touted 2026 offensive line, Leon Noyle Jr. out of New Orleans, Louisiana. All right, Edna Carr is down to Baylor, Mississippi State, and Nebraska. So Nebraska's made his top three as well. And then there was one other that wasn't final, but it does seem as though 2026 four-star offensive tackle Kevin Obot, 6'6", 300 pounds, is now favored, at the moment at least, to land with the Oregon Ducks. And it's projected like a 79.3% chance he'll go there. 6.5% chance only for Nebraska. So there must be another school factored in there as well. So that's a bit of a recruiting update, if you will, from the past 48 hours. Anything that you're aware of that I may have missed there, Jake?
No, I haven't seen anything recently. No.
All right. Abdul Muhammad, a man who's doing great things, I had never met Abdul. I watched him play, watched that Orange Bowl, watched the 94 season, watched his career. But I never actually met him until one of the track meets. And he walks up to me, and keep in mind, I haven't never met him. I hadn't seen him really since I watched him play when I was a kid. And he's like, hey, Adam, how's it going? I don't recognize him at first, you know, a little bit different looking 20, 30 years later. And then he goes, I'm Abdul Muhammad. I was like, oh my God, dude, I grew up watching you. This is absolutely phenomenal. Now I see him pretty much like every Saturday at these track meets. But he's doing a great job running a track and field team, running track meets. Obviously does a lot in the football realm as well in Omaha too. Former Nebraska, well, not a former Nebraska, Nebraska football legend, national champion. Abdul Muhammad will be joining us at 12:30. All right, Jake, if Nebraska is going to make an Indiana SMU type college football playoff run, in other words, get in the college football playoff, in your opinion, and we can go look through these games briefly again, we don't need to dissect it, but what does Nebraska's season need to look like, in your opinion, in order for that to happen?
I think you'd probably, you know, you might be able to do it at 9-3, but I think you'd probably have to go 10-2. You kind of look at what Indiana did last year. Obviously, they did lose the kind of the big game against Ohio State. So Nebraska maybe could afford the loss to Penn State. Again, we don't know what these teams are going to look like, but as we look at it now, and then maybe a loss to a USC or Michigan or so. But then again, just the strength of schedule, when you kind of look around that, that's why I think 9-3 might be a little bit of a stretch for Nebraska to get in. I think they're going to have to go 10-2.
I mean, I agree with that sentiment. It's interesting because you said a lot of the things I was going to say. I think if we lose to Penn State, and it's kind of similar to what happened with Indiana and Ohio State last year. Remember Indiana? I'm not saying we're going to lose to Penn State by, I think, 25 points is what Indiana lost to Ohio State by. It was close for about a quarter and a half, and then Ohio State just pulled away from the Hoosiers. All right, last year. But we could afford a loss to Penn State. You look through this and you're like, all right, 9-3. When you have preseason ranked the 18th toughest schedule in the Big Ten Conference, strength of schedule at the end of the year, and who knows how good or not good some of these teams are going to be, is probably not going to play in your favor. So you're going to have to get more dubs in the win column. So I'm like, another loss, 10-2 would probably get in. I do think perception of Nebraska is not going to help, because how many people are really going to buy in, even if we are 10-2? The strength of schedule is not going to help. So the other thing, because if there's like a 10-2 SEC team, or there's another 10-2 team that's been knocking on the door for years, they might get the nod over us, whether they should or not. They just might. It does help. We're still considered a blue blood, one of the most recognizable brands, and playing in the Big Ten helps. Like if you go head-to-head with a 10-2 for say Big 12 team, we'd probably get the nod over them. But if you're going head to head with a 10-2 SEC team, even a 9-3 SEC team, I'm telling you right now, Florida goes 9-3 with that schedule, they're probably going to get in over us. So I think the timing, how the losses look, who it's to, but the timing of that loss could be big too. It's almost like, if you remember growing up, if you lost early in the season,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
But you only had one loss, was way better than losing late in the season, even though you only had one loss. Because it's what sticks in people's memory bank is recency bias, so to speak. So to me, if we were going to lose, it'd have to be early on, even though I look at the schedule and there's most of the games I'm like that are the most difficult games, maybe outside of Michigan, are kind of at the tail end of it. So when you say maybe losing to Michigan, I'm not predicting that right now, it might have to be those two games, because it's also the two biggest brand names and would be held against you the least. If we go out here and, you know, who knows what UCLA is going to look like, but let's say we lose at UCLA and at Penn State. That means you lose two of your last three games. I think that would stick out to people a lot more than if it was Michigan, Ohio State. You know, Minnesota, that pesky Friday night game at Minnesota, I could see some analysts getting on TV and saying, they've lost to Minnesota 19 times out of 20, which wouldn't be true, but I could see somebody just putting that out there trying to get an SEC team in. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly how it plays out is you know, is a big part of the discussion. But again, it's so hard at this point to say that, because maybe Minnesota has 9 wins, you know? So yeah. When we kind of look at it, It's tough to break down, but you know, when you look at the step back and look at the schedule as well, you have four true road games. Obviously, we know the fifth one being the Cincinnati game when it was moved to Kansas City, which basically is a home game for Nebraska. So a lot of this, and we talked about it earlier, is just taking advantage of home, and then stealing a few on the road here. So we'll see, you know, and maybe it would. I mean, I have to believe with as big as the playoff field is that 10-2 would get Nebraska in. Almost regardless, I think, because, you know, we're just kind of focusing, hyper-focusing in on Nebraska's resume at that point, but everybody is going to have their own resume to go back, and 10-2 in the Big Ten, I know it's might not be ranked as the toughest schedule, but that's got to get you in.
Let me look up something real quick. All right, give me a second. Go ahead if you got another thought there.
Yeah, so as we look at it, and then you kind of think of, because it's one thing to kind of look at, you know, what they have to do the record wise. And then you kind of think, what do they have to do on the field to kind of get to that 10-2 or 9-3 result? And there's lots of strides to be made. And that's what I always kind of think about is we look at a team and we think, well, it's not a complete team because it needs this or that. And then these three things over here and then that over there. And it's true to actually compete for a national championship. You're going to have to be a more of a complete team, but you don't have to be to get into the playoffs to be the 12th, 13th best team. And those teams have holes as well. So Nebraska doesn't have to fill up every one of those holes. You just got to win these games. As we know, the Chasing Three documentary highlighted, you know, last year, you got to win these close games. You got to be able to, in special teams alone, if they would have fixed that up last year, that might've been worth a few games. So, you know, kind of back to the old thing that's been hurting Nebraska for the longest time is don't beat yourself. Right. Play sound football. And you should be able to compete and be in these games. Then you need a closer. You need the 2-minute drill. You need to know how to be able to do that. You need to get a big fourth down stop when it's out there. So there's these small moments in time in the college football season that from the outside, when you think going from 7 wins to 10 wins, that's a gigantic jump. That's going to be tough. But it really, as if Nebraska can play up to par as they did last year, is going to be just a few more plays made, whether that be on special teams or not turning the ball over like it was the big deal 2 years ago, to be able to be in this discussion.
So I wanted to look up Indiana and where they were seated, which is not the same as where they were ranked, which is why I needed another minute, because I typed in final college football playoff rankings and I'm like, wait, they weren't the 8th seed. I forgot that Arizona State and Boise got moved up, which a bunch of so they were 11-1. They were the 10th seed in the playoff. So I'm looking at Nebraska and I'm like, I don't know how people view our schedule. Probably a little bit tougher than Indiana's last year. Theirs was not phenomenal. And I guarantee at some point, if we're in this conversation, somebody's like, they duck Tennessee. You know, they won't bring that up about an SEC team, but they'll bring that up about a team like Nebraska. So I could see that coming up as well. But they were 11-1 and they were the 10th seed. So I'm looking at Nebraska and I'm like, 10-2. Is absolutely the worst you can be if you want to be in this conversation. Now, Arizona State, Boise State, they got bumped up to a 3-4 seed because they won their conference championship. This year, just winning your conference title doesn't make you a top 4 seed automatically. So Indiana would have actually indeed been an 8 seed a year ago. So that needs to be factored in as well. From the team itself, all right, win-loss perspective, we've kind of talked about you can afford 2 losses, depending on how they look, when they are, who they're to, how your strength of schedule actually plays out. As we sit here in this point in time, all right, you can probably go 10-2 and feel like 85% good that we'd be in. And I feel silly talking about the college football playoff with Nebraska right now. But man, again, who would have talked about it with Indiana and SMU last year? Because the next thing I want to ask you is Nebraska more likely to go 10-2 or 6-6? Just to keep everything in perspective. But we'll get to that in a second. What do you need to see from the team? What has to happen with the team to go 10-2 to even be in this discussion at the end of the year? I'll give you my things first. Number one, there's 3 things that pop out to me. It starts up front, and I'm kind of blending 2 things into one. It's the trenches. Can the offensive line, which I absolutely believe will be better, can they live up to the potential they have? And can people on the defensive line step up so that we can be a good team in the trenches? Number one, offense puts butts in the seats, defense wins games, the trenches wins championships or gives you an opportunity to compete for championships. How are we going to be in the trenches? That's first and foremost to me. Okay. Number two, which feeds in. All right. Number one feeds into number two is the quarterback play. I mean, there's a reason. There's an individual who gets more NIL money, who gets more money, who is kind of focused on a little bit when it comes to certain things at the university. And he's at that quarterback position because outside of defensive end, anyone who rushes the passer, it is the most important position on a football team. That joke will never get old to me. I don't know if anyone else finds it funny, but it's how the quarterback position plays. Can he take a natural year two progression? I'm not even talking about a jump or a leap, just a natural year two progression. Talked about that a million times, okay? Number three, the ability to win the close game. And I didn't put it number three because it's least important. I put it at number three because it's the main event. If nothing else changed and Nebraska just didn't shoot itself in the foot as much in recent years, just think back to certain games and just bounces that didn't go our way. And the one that popped into my head was the Michigan game, the night game a few years ago. And was it a fumble at the end or something like that? Yeah, like, yeah. Just don't do that. Like, you don't even have to snap better, kick better, block better. Just don't do that. It's at the end because it's the main event. If nothing else changes and we just find a way to win close games, not shoot ourselves in the foot, that is the biggest difference maker. But if we're going to talk about that, that's how you go from 7-6 to 8-4, 9-4. If you want to get in the college football playoff conversation, now you start talking about the trenches and you start talking about the quarterback play, just taking a natural progression. Doesn't even have to be a jump or leap, which he's very capable of. And I don't think it's out of the realm to talk about either. I'm just not going to expect it. Those are the things that stick out to me. What about you, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are probably the top. And when you said about in the trenches, I think that that is the biggest thing for Nebraska. I mean, I think we look at it and we get all excited about all these skill position players and, you know, new linebackers and stuff like that. But it really is, can that defensive line be, and that defense be the same as far as rushing defense was going to be very stout in the Big Ten. Can they replicate that after losing Nash and Ty? And then in that offensive line, we've been waiting for years to take that step. We call it the pipeline, but it doesn't look like the pipeline. Can you kind of get somewhere closer to that? And then I'll throw this in there too, because I think it, you know, because I like those other points you made. I certainly think field goal kicking is going to be a big part of, you know, winning those close games. But you just need individual strides, whether it be from those front seven or that quarterback would be especially helpful. But you need some strides from some guys, because as we go through these listings and kind of the rankings of guys, and you think, okay, yeah, that's fair. You need guys that are on like all Big Ten teams. They need four or five of them to be one of the top teams in the Big Ten. If you're going to go 10-2, it's not going to be sliding by with lesser talent. So, you know, and it's not to say that those guys aren't on campus. They're just, you know, it lets you know where you are going into the preseason, that when you see all these preseason rankings and you don't go, hey, Nebraska's guy should be there or there, you're kind of understanding of why they are where they are. That lets you know where they are as a program. And again, it's not to say that they haven't been developing and getting guys better, but that's what this whole year three is about, is everybody, you know, the team and individual players taking that next stride forward to put this team in a different stratosphere.
That's a great point, because you talk about, I mean, if you're going to be one of the best teams in the conference, you typically tend to have some of the better players in the conference. And you look at the preseason rankings, and who knows what those mean. Like, Ty Robinson was absurdly underrated last year. And then look at what he ended up doing on the field. So you have to take it with a grain of salt, but I don't see anybody preseason in the 90s. You know, and I think we have two 88s, and then it drops, you know. And there's not a ton of guys in the 80s. So you take it with a grain of salt, but usually the better teams in the conference have a lot of players that are in that all-conference type discussion, either first, second, or third team, something like that. And so Nebraska needs to start having those types of players step up, bringing in those guys, developing those guys. Obviously, that goes without saying. But if you want to be in that conversation, and let's be real, if you're like first team all Big Ten, you're probably on one of the All-American teams somewhere too, because it's SEC, Big Ten, and there's ACC, Big 12 produces good players too. But like, if you're a first team all Big Ten, you're probably at least honorable mention All-American, if not third team or higher somewhere too. So it's a lot harder to do than it used to be, in all fairness.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts there, Jake?
No, absolutely it is. There's 18 teams in the Big Ten, yeah. So it's tough to get there. But, you know, I even kind of like an easier, you know, sometimes it's tough when you look at the landscape of the Big Ten, and I don't quite know this team or that team over there. Just think about the Husker teams that were good the Pelini teams that never got better than 9-3, and we're talking about 10-2. I mean, you're talking about just on some of these teams, even take Sue out of it, but Lavonte David and Alfonso Dinard and Jared Crick and Quincy Nunu and Kenny Bell and Rex Burkhead and Amir Abdullah and Taylor Martinez and all those players, you know, combined for a 9-3 season. And all of those players, I would say, are better current than any current player that we have. Now, that's hindsight, right? They played their career. We know what that looks like. But that's a lot of guys, you know what I'm saying? So it is, that's what I mean when it's tough to get to that next stratosphere. It really is.
I'm curious to see who steps up and surprises us. Like, I remember Amir Abdullah. I mean, I knew who he was when he came in, but as a freshman, you could see that dude special. That was a little bit surprising to see him do it that young. Taylor Martinez, remember Team Magic as a freshman? So there are guys who step up and they kind of surprise you. And that's what I'm looking for this year with the Huskers. Who can step up? Who can surprise us? Who can end up the year? This is going to sound so stupid, but I'm going to say it. Rated 90 or higher in the video game or on these all-conference teams, which is going to matter more because that's going to directly correlate to how well you played on the field, which is going to directly affect your team and hopefully more dubs in the win column. So I look forward to those surprises. Those are the things I look forward to the most every year. Hopefully, I don't even want to put it out there in the universe, but if I don't say it, it still might happen, so it doesn't matter. Let's avoid the disappointments. Anybody having a season that they'd look back on and be like, man, I wish I would have done better. We got to have less of those and more surprises going forward. All right, when we come back, Nebraska football legend, national champion, Mr. Abdul Muhammad. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.